Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and I'm joined today again by Scott Colmett, Product Manager at Site Visibility. Hello, Scott.
Hello, yeah.
So this is part two of a two-parter, and the last show we talked about sort of the skills and characteristics that people need in order to be successful in digital marketing from a sort of candidate perspective, sort of interviewing and what to wear and CVs and stuff like that. Today we're going to be talking more about the recruitment process from the side of the business, aren't we? So how should employers prepare for an interview? You know, when they get someone in, how should they prepare for that interview?
So for me, I think that applicants are always encouraged to tailor their CVs and covering letters to a candidate. And what I think is really hypocritical but also important is that I think the employer, even though it's time sensitive, should put in an equal amount of time to tailor an interview for a candidate. And so what I tend to do is I do have, when it's practical, when it's a practical related role, such as technical SEO, I do have some standardized questions that I typically like to ask. From that, I put out key points from a CV or from a covering letter and make sure I expand upon specific points that are lifted or derived from that CV or covering letter. So the first half and really the close of the interview are always very specifically tailored to that person. So I put in a fair amount of time doing my preparation based on what I see in their CV. It's not as if every single person I interview comes in and has the same interview, because I think if you're doing that, you're looking for the wrong things. It just feels like a bit of a wrong process to do it that way. Too robotic. Half of what you're looking for in an interview is the personality and characteristics, because skills can be documented, can be talked about, can be explained. But the bit that you don't know about people, the bit behind that initial mask, how the dynamics with that person and the rest of your team and colleagues going to work. And so you need to get as much from their personality out in an interview as possible. And the only way in which I think you can do that is if you tailor the questions specific to that person.
Sure. Now, we hear a lot about social media these days. Do you look at social media profiles of candidates? I'm particularly interested in this because not everyone has a CV. I mean, we spoke about this in the last show. You know, some people may not have a CV, or they may just use their LinkedIn. So how much weight do you put on the social media profile side of things?
When I first started out doing any kind of recruitment, I used to do it a lot. So I used to Google the name, look at Twitter, LinkedIn and stuff like that. And do you know what? It just becomes such a stressful process, because you never know why someone has documented something in the past online. You just can't make or build up a picture of someone just through what they post online. I just think it's the wrong thing to do, partly because when you think of a TV program like Catfish, if you're aware of that program, people can create different personalities completely. And so if you're tailoring an interview and building up all these prejudgments of someone based on what they posted, it ruins your ability to actually connect with them on the day of the interview. So I used to do it, and then I actually started thinking about it as I was going through the process and thought, do you know what, this isn't useful. I'd rather have them kind of live and direct there on the day and get a feel from them. And so I don't do it anymore unless they specifically reference LinkedIn LinkedIn or a personal blog or something like that on their that they're proud of and that they document on their CV that I should go look at. But I don't make a real conscious effort to go and review lots and lots of their kind of social media history and all their stuff like that, because I think it's a little bit unfair as well. People change, you know. You can't. I don't think that you can really judge someone based on something they wrote about 7 years ago all the time or something. You know,
sure. Yeah.
And again, the other way that I look at it is sometimes going back to a question that we referenced in the previous podcast. Sometimes you'll ask some. If I ask someone about their personality, maybe facepalm moments or things embarrassed by. If they're really embarrassed by things they've written online in the past, they might bring it up in an interview anyway, and that's the best way for me to hear about it.
It's certainly interesting, isn't it? Because we hear on the news so much about how important it is, especially for young people, to not embarrass themselves online because it may come back to bite them. But it sounds like you've got a very sensible approach to it. I wonder if that's becoming more common amongst employers.
Perhaps. I've got to be honest, I find it really tough, because I think that it's a really tough thing, because on the flip side, you do want to know as much as you can about a person before you recruit them. You're spending all day with these people, but it's a really difficult thing to judge. And so I'm not saying that I'm necessarily right in not doing full research. In fact, sometimes I sit back and I think to myself, maybe I should be doing all that research, because, you know, we're spending all day with these people. To be honest, it's a topic that I'd like to throw up there for maybe the podcast listeners to discuss and get their thoughts on, because like I said, there's no right or wrong. It's a difficult one to judge.
Okay, you got that task, listeners. If you've got any ideas on that, certainly email in. I'll give you the email and the telephone number at the end, so you can do that. So, okay, so you've done the interview. You've had a face-to-face with the person. So how do you make the decision? How do you decide on the right candidate, Scott? What sort of things go through your mind after that interview?
The real thing that I leave the room with is I always think to myself, did I leave that room happy and comfortable and excited about the prospect of working with that person? So it tends to come away, if you've got people of equal or similarly equal experience and skills that they've discussed in an interview, the weight shifts to kind of their rapport, their personality, and really their enthusiasm for the industry. And I ask a few questions typically at the end of an interview, which give me a little bit more of a steer on whether they're the kind of person I'd like to work with, and those hold a lot of weight with me. So a lot of people are going to get a lot of good information here if they're applying for a job here, but it's essentially I'm looking for things that they actually do to stay on top of the industry. So news, I one question that a lot of people struggle to answer to, which is really useful for me to build up a picture of them, is who their mentors or influencers are. So who do they like reading about? It doesn't have to be in digital marketing, but it's useful for is. And also questions about other companies or brands that they'd like to work for. Those kind of questions help. By the time I leave the room, I typically know whether they're a good fit on a more on a personal level for both me, but also my colleagues and the rest of the team as well.
Yeah. And presumably, do you then go back to the team and have a discussion with them? Is it like a two-part process, or is it, do you make the decision having met them once?
No, we definitely don't make the decision just on me. Sometimes as well, I'm not even a part of the full process. Maybe it depends on the role. We definitely have, and we've tried to adapt this over time, definitely more of a team approach to it. I think that's one thing that I can see this company has learned over the last couple of years, where we typically have maybe a 2 or 3 stage interview process, which can sound intimidating if you're a candidate. But I guess all I'd encourage candidates to think about is that the more people that you get to see through an interview process, even if it seems intimidating or demanding, that should be an indicator to you that they're going through the right steps to make sure the candidate is correct. So for me, that's a positive thing we're doing, getting the team involved. Sometimes we'll just have someone sit in on an interview and they won't even ask any questions, which also sounds intimidating. They're just getting a feel for the person, seeing if they're the right fit for the role. So yeah, we do have, it's definitely a team effort.
Now, let's say the interview didn't go quite so well. How do you give constructive feedback?
Yeah, that's it's a tricky one. If possible, I like to, definitely the first thing to any employer is definitely give feedback, because you know, I've seen and I've seen in other companies and you know, previous work history, companies that just don't reply to people, and I think that's terrible. Mm. I think if people make the effort to come to an interview, go through the process of applying, you should kind of get back to everyone. And so we have a process here where whoever we just make sure that someone's on the responsibility for giving feedback, whether it's me or someone else. What I kind of I like to try and be as specific as possible. It's a difficult skill, and I'm not saying that I've learned it. I'm probably still learning it. But to give a person an indication, not of where they went wrong, but where we're looking for something different. And so it could be, again, sometimes it's very easy for me in that maybe they had a really good CV, they came across really well, but they didn't give me enough demonstrable examples or experiences in the interview. And so that's what I'll refer to if they haven't given me that. Perhaps they've given me all of their personality, but no information about their actual successes, and in which case I'll make it very specific to that. Sometimes, and I've only done this on a few occasions, but the real difficulty for me going through the recruitment process is when you really, really like someone, but you know they're not a particularly good fit for the role.
Yeah,
that can be really, really tricky, because generally, you know, once they build up my enthusiasm and I really like to work with them, it's super difficult to turn them down. So all I'll do is I'll explain to them, you know, I really, really like you personally. I'll try and explain the reasons maybe why they're not suitable for this role. But then if it, and again, I'm not saying this is right, but sometimes I have a vision for that person and where I think they might be best suited, like in a digital marketing related role. Mm. And if it's not the one that they've applied for, then whether it's here or somewhere else, I'll maybe write an email to them. You know, I don't think you're suitable for this role, but everything you in your interview demonstrated to me that you'll be good at X, whatever X is.
That's really nice.
Might be a different role completely. And so, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think it's my duty to kind of at least give them my honest opinion, and I think that's the best way that I can do that.
Scott, I have one more question for you.
Okay.
It's probably the most juicy one, actually. From your perspective, what's the hardest thing about the recruitment process?
Honestly, it's that point about the character, really. So there are a couple of things that I think are important to digital marketing, just character traits, I guess. And I think being approachable is one. Humility is really important, and keeping an open mind, because the volatility of the industry, the changes, you always need to keep an open mind about what might happen next, but not in a negative way, to be proactive, to be thinking about the future, to get your colleagues excited and to constantly move an agency or a brand forward. And those three things are really, really difficult when you're only spending the interviews that, you know, I partake in tend to be about an hour and a half long. It's really difficult to get personality out in an interview and those characteristics. And so for me, and this is this is a really important point, in that a lot of companies spend, or they've got high thresholds about, and they're really fussy about the people they employ, which is correct, it's the right thing to do. But at the same time, I don't think you should go months and months and months without recruiting, when ultimately you could employ the right person with the right experience, with the right skill set. They could join your team, and then they could be a horrific person to work with. And it's really inefficient, I think, to have those kind of, sometimes those high standards, if you don't know enough about their personality. So really, it's the balance of finding the key points about their personality, the characteristics, the things they enjoy personally, and getting all of that information and deriving that in the space of time. That'd be really hard.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for joining us yet again. I know that you told us on the last episode, but just tell our listeners again how people can contact you.
Evie, you can email me scott.colnutt, C-O-L-E-N-U-T-T, at sitevisibility.com. Or if you want to chat about this podcast or anything else, perhaps one of the roles we're recruiting for, add me on Skype at Scott Site Visibility.
Scott, thank you so much, and thank you for listening, listeners. I do apologise for the slightly ropey Skype towards the end, but I think Scott's was legible, and what he was saying was certainly very interesting. So that's it for today. Don't forget, we're on iTunes and Stitcher, and please, we would encourage you to leave a review, because it helps us to grow the audience and help more people. If you want to connect with me personally, I'm Dr. Pod, D-O-C-T-O-R-P-O-D, on Twitter and LinkedIn. Just mention the IM podcast if you want to connect. Emails go to podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk, and the magic phone line is +44 1273 256 150 if you want to leave a verbal message. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Scott.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.